Adam, instant reaction, please.
I just like when Matt gets humiliated. Because he's all up. Talk, has the biggest...
Brown, a long pass to Pavel Bure. In the clear, right in. Yeah, it scores! Pavel Bure!
He will play. You know he'll play. He'll play on crutches. He will play.
Burrow steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! They've slayed the dragon! Now knocked down by Heistick, the flush back to Bieksa, he shoots, he scores! Kevin Bieksa, the double overtime goal! And the Canucks will play for the Stanley Cup!
From the heart of the Smelosphere, it's the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Welcome to episode 56 of the C4 Podcast. I am your host, Chris Golden at Lightforce on Twitter, joined in studio by Clay at Canuck Clay, Matt Lee at Matt Lee 980, and Adam Ovenel Carter at Adam FOC. What does that F stand for?
The F stands for Francis.
Thank you. Good to have us all in studio, boys.
First time ever.
It is the first time we've all been in studio.
Yes.
So this is what Adam looks like.
This is what Adam looks like. This is your replacement.
Well, he's better.
I like how Adam is also in the chair you normally occupy, Clay.
Well, I didn't want to say anything. He's bigger than me.
He is, and he got here before you.
He's like 50 pounds lighter than you as well.
I don't know if that's an insult to him or if that's an insult.
Maybe it's
an
insult to both. I don't know.
Well, in all fairness, I don't entirely know if Clay wants to get into a second scrap this evening. I mean, he comes in, he's got a bloodied nose.
He looks like Mayweather in the Pacquiao fight coming up.
It's like the mean streets of Vancouver got the best of him. It's just unreal.
Yeah, it's a rough drive coming in from Richmond at 10 o'clock at night, you know.
No kidding.
We got a lot to get into tonight, guys.
It's a big episode, that's right. Optimism apparently was what we should have had all along because the Canucks clinched, and I imagine we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know what? We bought in at half empty, but apparently we needed to be full.
Yeah, guess what? I think you and I were wrong.
I was wrong.
I'm going to save my gloating for Haiku Corner.
So what's happening exactly? Like, you don't have to give everybody the details, but what happened in this bet?
Yeah, as a refresher, in one of the very first podcasts of the season, maybe October, November, we basically...
It was like September,
okay,
I think.
Whatever it was. All I know is it was way before Christmas. And we basically said, are the Canucks going to make the playoffs? And I said yes. And Chris, this is before you were here, Adam. So Chris and Matt said no. And then we said, okay, if the Canucks don't make the playoffs... Clay, you have to do like put something on Twitter or change your or tweet for Chris or do something for Matt or something.
We were totally taking over your timeline.
We probably
okay. That's what it was. You're taking over my timeline. I would trust you, brothers. But then we never ever came up with the consequence if it went the other way.
Because we were so confident, convinced it was gonna happen.
We were the LA Kings going into Edmonton a couple nights ago.
That is. Actually, exactly how confident we were.
Yep.
So two or three podcasts ago, once it became apparent that the Canucks had a decent chance of making the playoffs, I started to throw out there, hey guys, we never ever thought of a consequence the other way. So we threw it out to the people. A couple of people gave us some responses that I'll get to a bit later. But basically, I have something nice for you guys. Something that will, I think, please the listeners. It will please Adam for sure. I know that.
I got to admit, though, I'm in the same boat as these guys.
What?
I'm talking with Matt before the beginning of the year. We were talking about if we wanted Marner or Hanifin because we weren't going to pick first overall. But
we were talking about Marner or Hanifin. We were talking about McDavid or Eichel, which one we wanted. I want to get in on another bet on this later to redeem myself. Oh, I don't know. We'll think of something.
Double or nothing.
Maybe something in the playoffs.
Well, Canucks are in the playoffs. That's right. And to celebrate making the playoffs, General Manager Jim Benning went out and signed Derek Dorsett and Lucas Pisa to multi-year contract extensions. I think we'll probably talk a little bit about both our shock and horror at what that means.
That's awful.
Imagine if the Canucks win the Stanley Cup. What's he going to do then?
Jeez. It's going to go back in time.
Sorry, I pressed it. You want me to press it again?
Yeah.
I'll press it again.
So, let's go back in time. Instant reaction to the Canucks making the postseason. Adam, let's start with you.
Well, obviously I was pretty excited. Matt and I were talking about what it would take for the Canucks to make the playoffs, and I was writing an essay for school, and We were trying to figure out all the mathematical combinations, and it was as simple as the Kings losing. So when they did, I didn't think that that would be enough. And then when they did, I was obviously pretty obviously excited, but just kind of, you know, I look back at the whole season and I did not expect us to be at this point.
So I just, for me, let's go back. We see the Canucks lose to Winnipeg and it's like, oh man, you guys, you know, the Canucks had, they were in the driver's seat. They lose to Winnipeg. They do beat LA, although LA gets a loser point. And I remember, you know, Clay, Matt, you and I were talking and I kept pointing out, like, loser points are a problem here. Because of how tight the Pacific was. And LA goes into Edmonton, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, so LA's going to win here, and that's going to exert a lot of pressure on the Vancouver Canucks, who then have to go and win against Arizona, and then have to go win against Edmonton. So to my surprise, Edmonton goes and plays not only a solid game, but holds on to win, because I think, wasn't one of those goals scored from, like, center ice against the Oilers?
Yep, Drew Doughty.
They, like, totally tried to, you know, throw it. Maybe that was just to make sure, you know, everyone in Vancouver who was watching the game stayed to the end. I don't know. Matt, how did you feel about that?
Of all the possibilities that could have been for the Canucks to make the playoffs, that was the last one I saw actually coming to fruition. I thought for sure, oh, the Kings, yeah, they're going to romp all over the Oilers again, no problem. And sure enough, it's the Oilers who do the Canucks a favor. And did anyone see the Twitter interaction between the Canucks and Oilers?
No.
It's just some GIF exchanges between the two teams.
Well, I know CHB's own Jocelyn Aspa went and pretended to retweet the Oilers, who said,
so that's what that was.
I was trying to figure out what was happening there.
And so Jocelyn went and created a retweet. It wasn't actually retweeting, but she tried to create a retweet that said to everyone in outside of LA or to everyone in BC, Alberta, and Manitoba, you're welcome. And the Oilers actually responded, said, yeah, we were thinking of doing something like that.
A callback to when the Kings
went and said to everyone outside of Vancouver, or everyone in Canada outside of Vancouver, you're welcome.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how 2 years is all it's been between those kind of tweets? All of a sudden, it's like, to everyone outside LA, you're welcome. And before it was to everyone outside Vancouver, you're welcome.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Wasn't at the time. The Smealosphere lost its so-and-so. I can't say the word because then we'd have to, like, take ourselves off iTunes.
Probably.
What's wrong, Chris?
I'm kind of...
You're still choked about what's happening later on in this podcast.
He looks perturbed.
I am, because, you know, I'm happy that the Canucks made the playoffs and all, but it does mean that, Clay, you get to cash in on your bet.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I did go out on Twitter and say, what should I make Matt and Chris, do Adam, this is before I knew you so well, so, you know, we might get you in on a future one.
I don't know. I feel like I should be, you know, excluded from all this.
Okay.
So his hands are clean of this one.
So really, really quickly, you guys, these are three that we are not going to do. Gladys at GloomyBB says, make Matt and Chris sing Canucks haiku on video. So I don't know what's worse, the fact you guys are going to sing or the fact that we're going to actually record it. So that was Gladys' suggestion.
Chris, I like it.
You like that, Adam?
A lot, yeah.
Chris doesn't look too pleased.
How is it you don't think I can sing?
I know you can sing.
You've never even
He's
given
a good
me an
baritone.
You've never given me the opportunity to sing. You don't even know if I can.
This is like deja
vu. See, you
know
what? This is like 6 months ago. Oh, I've never been in a video. Now it's like, oh, you've never given me opportunity to sing. Next thing you know, he's going to be doing the lead piano for you on your next video, Clay.
I'm going to go Stevie Wonder
okay,
on it, man.
I will say it now. If the Canucks make the Stanley Cup Finals, Chris will appear in the fourth round video, and he will take over for me on the keys. Elmi Garner at giggling_elm says, dance with Batman and Robin costumes in your next video. Oh, no.
Who's Batman? Who's
me.
Robin?
We all know this. It's me.
You're Batman?
You ride shotgun in the motorcycle and the little thing that's beside the motorcycle.
Let's hear your Batman.
I'm Batman.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
You're not Batman. You're like Batman.
Where's your Batman?
Go.
Let's hear your Batman.
Let's see, I mean, have some water here.
Hurry up, man. We only got an hour for this thing.
I'm Batman.
That was even worse than mine.
And the trifecta of ladies. It's all ladies that want to get in on this this bet action.
Obviously.
No wonder they're all equally humiliated.
We have
it's Matt and I.
The famous Roxy at our Mystique78 says, wear Oilers jerseys at the game on Saturday night and throw popcorn around until you get kicked out of the arena. Oh, I like that one.
That is the ultimate insult. These are getting worse and worse and more humiliating.
And lastly, and a nice, I guess, foreshadowing, Larry Wong, friend of the podcast, at LarryWong84, says, they each have to say a haiku on C4 that showers you with praise. So let's just kind of remember that for about half an hour or so.
Oh.
Fun times. Well, let's move on.
This is the power of the 575 exacting their revenge on us.
Yep. There's a reason why we do it, guys.
How are we feeling heading into round one?
Anything they get from here for me is gravy.
Yeah, and it kind of depends on who we end up playing. You know, if it's LA, I'm still never going to feel good. I know you disagree, Chris, but if it's Calgary, I'm feeling a lot more optimistic than I am if it's LA.
But, okay, I'll actually accept at this point, I don't think it will be LA. I don't see how LA can...
Mathematically.
Yeah, mathematically it can, but
yeah.
I don't see how LA can ultimately win their way up to third.
Well, did you read the stat I have here in the rundown?
No, I don't read the rundown.
According to sports... thanks, guys. According to sports club stats, the Canucks have an 85% chance of meeting the Flames in the first round and statistically have only a 14.6% chance of meeting the Kings. So it's going to be one or the other.
Does that mean the Kings only have a 14.6% chance of making the playoffs?
No, because they can still get into the wild card spot.
Right. Okay.
Regardless... Can you not say that the Canucks played a whole lot differently against LA those last two games? And you can't argue that LA wasn't in it to win it. The game here where the Vancouver Canucks came back to win through some adversity when LA got that early goal, to me, is the Vancouver Canucks team that was missing the last two go-rounds.
Now, is that, though, a product of the Canucks getting better, or is it that they've just figured out a way to beat LA?
I don't think it's that they figured out a way to beat LA. I think they bring something different to the rink when they face LA. Heck, when was the last time you saw Henrik Sedin goon it up by running a goaltender?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the stuff that the Canucks missed. They tried to be that old team that would turn the other cheek. And we all know the officiating in the playoffs changes. You can't play that way. You gotta go and agitate. That's where, to me, I think the Vancouver Canucks, we've known them to always play to the competition. I think there's an opportunity to beat LA, and I am so very worried, having listened to the Smielosphere on sports radio talk about how the Canucks have it easy this year through the playoffs.
I just want to say, like, in to counter that, just, you know, the Canucks played one of the best games of the year, or at least one of the most exciting games, and they still only beat the Kings 2-1 in a shootout. You know, that's their best game, and they barely beat the team.
Hey,
and this is also a Kings team that has been playing pretty bad. I think everyone can agree lately as well.
Let's go back in time to when the Vancouver Canucks knocked the Chicago Blackhawks around in the regular season. In fact, ran them over last game. And what happens? Meet them in the playoffs and get run over. To me, the regular season doesn't necessarily dictate the results. If it's a close game, fine. But blowing them out doesn't mean anything either.
Okay, so if regular season doesn't dictate the results, the Canucks won the first two meetings against Calgary, but have lost the last two.
But I think Calgary comes into the postseason saying, oh my goodness, look at what we've done. We can do anything. The Vancouver Canucks,
they think that they can just rest on their laurels of just getting back to the postseason.
I don't think they rest on their laurels. Not Brian Burke would never allow a team. And
Brian Burke.
Whatever. You know that Brian Burke has some significant influence on this organization.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the Calgary Flames look like. Like, we haven't played them since February. It seems like we played LA at least three, if not four times since then, right?
The Canucks have not met the Flames since Mark Giordano was lost for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the schedule's just screwy. The Vancouver Canucks played the Oilers, like, what, three times out of the gate, mm-hmm. and play again the last game of the season. I'm just curious. Like, you look at Calgary, we would agree they overachieved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you not argue the Canucks overachieved?
Yes.
Yes.
Especially given our bet.
I know, Matt Clay, you are the optimist, but you have to agree. We didn't expect the Canucks to... They've been in the driver's seat. I think you said they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to make the playoffs.
Did not expect a chance for a second place.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have seen 100 points coming. Like, they're at 97 with two games left against two terrible teams.
So you have two overachieving teams playing against each other if we look at that matchup. Do the Vancouver Canucks look at this as, oh my goodness, we made the playoffs, we can do anything? Or do you think the Calgary Flames are like, oh my goodness, we made the playoffs, we can do anything? To me, that's the edge that Calgary has, is that they don't know what they can't do, whereas the Canucks, I feel because they were in the driver's seat could have some level of complacency.
Do you feel, on a similar note, do you feel that the Flames overachieved much more than the Canucks overachieved?
Yeah, well, I was going to say something to that effect. Like, even at this point, you know, you could say they both overachieved, but I still think the Canucks are the better team in almost every aspect.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the Vancouver Canucks shouldn't be, on paper, the team that goes through if they meet Calgary, but we've seen the song and dance before, a much stronger Canucks team falling to the Flames, or falling to really weaker competition. You could argue that LA was weaker competition.
No, I just think right at the start of the year on TSN, Aaron Ward, I don't know if you guys saw this, he was the one guy on the panel that actually said Calgary's going to make the playoffs, and they laughed him off the set almost, and they were going at him, and Aaron said, no, these guys, you know, they're not as big as, say, St. Louis or Winnipeg or whatever, but they're a gritty, fast
team. Yeah, they're fast,
team.
Little gritty
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, and they're hard to play against. Yeah, and look where they are now, like battling us for us, as if I'm on the team, battling the Canucks for second place.
Well, they're full of blue-collar players. Yeah. Outside of Johnny Hockey, who do they have? I
looked up the stats. Jiří Hudler has 73 points this season.
More than Steven
Stamkos.
That
is ridiculous. Yes. I was shocked.
Yep.
Jiří Hudler has 73 points in a year, by the way, where it's considered like elite if you're a point per game.
No, Adam made a good point. I was looking at how Daniel was ahead of Stamkos, and I was looking at how Hudler was ahead of Daniel. It's crazy.
And Daniel's, what, ninth in the league right now?
Yeah, up there, ninth or tenth, yeah, with 72 or whatever, yeah. But anyway.
Now, you look at the numbers, though. You got Hudler, who's got the hot stick all season. You got Johnny Gaudreau, who's been the rookie sensation, probably in the nominations for Calder Trophy. And then you've got Sean Monahan, who's obviously developing into a nice two-way player as a second-line center or first-line center, what have you. Are the Flames sort of a one-trick pony up front? Can they be shut down up front?
Well, the Canucks, when they were that one-trick pony, were easy to shut down. You frustrate the heck out of the top line.
I say we sick Bo Horvat on them.
What? So Bo Horvat, Ronnie Hockey, Yannick Hansen?
Yes. Make their lives a living hell.
Or, actually, does Sven Barchi play into this?
Ooh. Does he, you think he has any insight, though? He hasn't played for them all season.
He played a bit this season, didn't he? I thought he had 4 points in
16
games.
Might have had a cup of coffee, but...
Still, if he goes and supplants Ronnie Hockey in the postseason, I'd be surprised. I mean, Sven got an opportunity, got into
kinda
some penalty trouble. Yeah, and I mean, arguably he had nerves, but no, I like that Ronnie Hockey line.
You laughed it off before.
I did, but he is
but
Ronnie Hockey
now. You like it
now.
Digging it now, aren't you?
Ronnie Hockey.
Again, the Flames up front, they're... pretty gritty team. Lance Boma's been pretty nice for them this season. Kind of like in the Derek Dorsett mold for them. They got David Jones as their second line center, Matt Sagan. Mason Raymond.
May Ray.
I mean,
who's on their blue line? Like, I'm surprised they did so well since Giordano's been hurt. Who's there?
Weidman, Brody.
Oh yeah, Weidman.
I mean, Weidman picked up a lot of the slack left behind by Giordano.
True.
And Brody's pretty darn good in his own right. But beyond that, they got Derek Englund.
Well, I'm looking up their line combinations right now from a defensive standpoint. TJ Brody and Derek Englund have been playing the bulk share of their minutes.
You guys play NHL 15 at all?
No.
Derek Englund is horrible in that game.
Too bad he's not horrible in the NHL for real, because right now it looks like he's the first pairing guy for the Flames.
Wow.
Chris Russell, Dennis Wyman, the second pairing. Corey Potter and David Schlemko, the third pairing.
So do they have a goaltending controversy as to who they would start in the playoffs?
They've split the games like 50-30, roughly.
Between like Rito Barra and...
No, Kari Ramo? Rito Barra's the one in Colorado now.
Oh, Colorado, okay.
But Hiller's played about 50-odd, and Kari Ramo's played about 30.
Tangent here. Why has Hiller played all season with this black mask?
He's had that where he goes.
He always has terrible, terrible masks.
Yeah.
I think it's the exact same one as his Ducks one. Yeah. Because I could have sworn in a close-up of it on Hockey Night in Canada, I saw the Duck part, the logo, like just spray-painted over.
Well, no, that's when you can see something underneath this black mask.
Maybe it's a thing. Like, I've never played goalie before, but sometimes goalies are weird and they've got their perks of things that they need to have done.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Maybe
it
camouflages the puck every time you... No.
We're getting sidetracked here. We're getting sidetracked. If the Canucks meet the Flames right now, who would you take in that series? Canucks have home ice advantage. Let's go around the board.
I'll go Canucks in six.
I would say Canucks in six, too.
Adam's so smart.
Flames in seven.
Canucks in seven, God. I'll say. They're not going to be an easy out in my mind.
And I'm sorry. I just feel that Vancouver would take them for granted. I've seen this. Was it 2001?
Colorado?
No, no. What? I'm trying to think of the year. Alex Auld was in net because Kluche went and got hurt.
Oh, that was
2004.
You know, top rated Vancouver Canucks should roll over the Flames.
Minus Tabertuzzi.
Sure, but regardless, they played very well leading up to it with Bertuzzi not in the lineup, and Flames gave them everything. Now, hot goaltender Kiprusoff was a big reason why Calgary did well that postseason, but I'm just so worried. I would be much happier if the Canucks faced the adversity early, just like they did against the Blackhawks.
Adversity as in L.A.?
L.A., get it over and done with, so then you can move on.
There is something about facing the Stanley Cup champs, the defending Stanley Cup champions, that I feel would put the Canucks over a long way if they managed to somehow survive that series.
Don't you agree that the Vancouver Canucks beating the Blackhawks in 2011 gave you that just giant exhalation? And though Nashville gave them a run, you're like, no, the Canucks are going to take this series. Like, there was confidence that continued to be built. To me, you got to get that adversity over and done with and move on.
It's like the biggest road bump is always the one that puts you with momentum the rest of the way.
That's right.
Okay. I don't agree, but I'd rather take the road less traveled.
A real character game for us, a real good game. Thought our first two periods were real good. They got some real good goaltending tonight. Thought we played real well. Got a really good hockey team. Black made some unreal saves. He's a real force. Real great players, played real well. It'll be a real tough game tomorrow. This is a real great pass. Matthias is a real good skater. Cannons was really good tonight. It was their power play that was real good tonight. Hey! I thought he was really good tonight. I thought that's his best offensive game for sure.
For sure.
This is our new segment. It's called Real Talk. It's not necessarily replacing half full, half empty. We just like to throw it in there every now and then. Clay, having heard that for the first time, what was your instant reaction?
I love it. You know, a lot of people make fun of him. And it's not even him. It didn't go back to Vigneault. Vigneault talked about that too,
says
right?
It. Ray Ferraro says it a lot during games.
But
real is probably the most overused word in hockey vernacular these days.
Yeah, when you hear it all together, though, it did bring a smile to my face. I thought
it's pretty funny.
That was well done. Was that you?
It was real good.
Yeah. That was very good.
I thought it was real good, too.
It wasn't very good. It was real good.
Real good.
Real good. Well, this is Real Talk. And you know what? Jim Benning decides to celebrate the Vancouver Canucks clinching a playoff spot by taking a trip to Crazy Town and signing Derek Dorsett and Luca Spezza to multi-year contract extensions, to the shock of everybody and to the horror of everybody.
I'm amazed we've gone this long without talking about this so far.
It is a near miracle, my friend.
Start us off, Adam. What do you think?
Oh my God. I'm going to mute my mic for a second. I need
to... I could probably stomach the Dorsett deal. But for 4 years, I think that's insane. And I just don't even know where to begin with this Spezza deal. It's unbelievable. How do you look at this guy, the season he's had, and think he needs a $700,000 raise? For 3 years, at least, at the very least, neither of them have any kind of trade protection.
Well, thinking in Chris Tanev dollars, how the heck is Luca Spezza that close to Chris Tanev dollars? This guy's an RFA.
Ugh.
He has no leverage. None. Like, does Jim Benning know something that the rest of the world doesn't? Like, oh, Luca had a real rough year. Maybe he's been fighting the flu bug for the entire
real
season.
Real rough career so far.
Well, so I agree. I could stomach Dorsett. I actually don't mind the 4 years. I struggle at the 2.65. At best,
really?
To me, he's at best... he's a $2 million player, maybe less than that. He's a role player. I mean, Chris Higgins is what, $2
million?
2.5.
So he's a role player as well.
Yeah, okay. I thought he was two. So
Chris Higgins 2.5, Yannick Hansen 2.5. So, but why does that justify? I mean, it's splitting hairs, but 0.1 more than those guys?
No,
I
would not. It would be the other direction.
Yeah, I'd be okay with 2.4.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with the term for me.
Really, what would you have wanted?
My ideal term for Derek Dorsett would have been like $4.8 million over 2 years.
Yeah, I think his best years are behind him at this point.
He's 28 years old, so he's not over the hill per se, but the way he plays, you're not going to last.
Yeah, you're expecting exactly. him yeah. and the way he plays to last 4 years going into 32?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, he's a real good human being.
We don't doubt that.
And then let's get to the creme de la creme. Lucas Spezza, okay, I know we've talked about it a little bit before, but Lucas Spezza is going to make $3.6 million on average for the next three seasons. How does this make sense? Why does this make sense?
Is the salary cap going up by like $6 million next year that we don't know about or something?
Like, Lucas Spezza's cap hit right now is 2.175.
Yeah.
I wasn't even okay with that.
No one was.
What was his cap hit? Sorry, say that.
2.175. He was making 2.9.
Oh, okay.
So I was wrong there when I talked to you about this before. But 2.175 is not tolerable for him so far. And people talk about these things like, oh, well, he's like 40th in the league in hits, and he's like 50th in block shots. You know what that sort of tells me? He's playing defensively a lot for a reason. Like, he's not driving the play, and I know we don't get too much into advanced statistics, mm-hmm. but it's like, most of the time when he's having to make those plays, like take hits and block shots, it means he's playing in his own zone quite a bit because he's not a good puck possession player.
Okay, so in the spirit of balance, really quickly, what does he do well? He can play physical.
He's kind of gritty. I'll give him that. But Kevin Bieksa, and we've given him crap all season.
I mean, well, we give the Flames crap for signing Derek Englund for basically the
How
same
is this
kind
any
of deal,
different
right? Exactly,
that.
Exactly. This is a
this is our Derek Englund now.
I should go see how good Lucas Spezza is on NHL 15 now.
I mean, this just it took a lot of the wind out of the sails about making the playoffs in my mind.
So is he a victim? Like we agree that he had a horrible start to the season here, right? There's the bad
horrible
giveaway.
Start, horrible middle. Okay, but hasn't been much.
Actually, you're you're illustrating my point. Do you think he almost has had trouble living it down, his poor start down, and that people got on his case right away and they haven't really given him a chance? I'm just asking.
If he was a rookie, maybe, but he hasn't shown the ability to play well with any consistency in his years in the NHL. So I don't know. I don't have much hope.
So with this number, we now have $20 million tied up for between four players in the blue line.
Edler, Bieksa, Hamusen, Tanev, and Spezza?
Mm-hmm.
That's five.
Yeah.
Or is that, yeah, five players, sorry.
Yeah.
So
that's why we don't do advanced.
No, systems. No. I was just. although I was some of the things I've learned. Kevin Bieksa only makes 2.5 next year.
See? In salary.
But that's salary. I know
his cap hit, right?
Yeah. I know his AAV is higher. I just find that interesting for a team that's always looking at the dollars and cents. They might actually think, "Oh yeah, we're going to keep him because he's cheap." But how does one third of your lineup get tied up by not even a full unit?
Ugh.
Well, okay, the Canucks are paying. If Eddie Lack is the playoff starter and the starter into next season, that means the Canucks will be paying Lucas Spezza, the worst defenseman on the team, and a backup goaltender just under $10 million.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
You know what? I'm not going to lie, and I know it's early, but I'm starting to question Jim Benning's track record. Like, it was – like, I get Kessler for Bonino and Spezza and the pick, which became Jared McCann. Sure. But I feel like not only is Jim Benning not willing to admit he made a mistake in acquiring Lucas Spezza, it's like he's double downing on said mistake by signing him to a 3-year deal.
Okay. And if it's on Jim Benning, why does Spezza start game in and game out? Because that's a coach's decision. Like
he's Willie DeJardin's Keith Ballard.
Okay, but Keith Ballard found his way to the press box.
Yes. The difference is he plays.
Okay, I don't see where you're going here.
He gets a lot of hate, just like Keith Ballard did.
Yes, except for the fact that the coach loves him, yeah. And the city doesn't, where he's with
Fine.
Ballard.
He's Aaron Rome, okay?
Yeah, but everyone loved Aaron Rome. AV loved Aaron Rome.
No, AV loved Aaron Rome. I didn't necessarily love Aaron Rome.
People liked Aaron Rome a heck of a lot more than they like Lucas Pisa.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I don't know.
Okay, 2015.
So
yeah, I'm just kidding.
Lucas Pisa doesn't miss a game ever. Coach loves him. The GM obviously feels there's value there. What is it that they see? I want to be reasonable. I want to look at this in a practical sense. What does Lucas Pisa bring to the table?
Look, I think you just, I mean, look at the draft. When he talked about meat and potatoes, drafts for Tannen, Triamkin, all these.
Is
all
he
these
like
big,
the meatballs I on think, the spaghetti?
I think he just likes the, you know, the rugged. I think he talked about it today with Murph or Boschford or somebody, but it was, you know, the rugged, physical, stay-at-home kind of old-school guy. And, I don't know, and Big Bad Bruins is where he came from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I don't see Lucas Pisa making the Big Bad Bruins.
I don't see Lucas Pisa making anybody scared.
Like, and I really want to understand this. Like, I truly want to think that, okay, as a fan, I obviously don't know the game well enough to realize what we have here, and therefore I should trust in Jim.
Hmm.
It just makes no sense. Like, at the end of the day, he was an upcoming RFA, not a UFA. He had no bargaining rights whatsoever. And yet here's Jim Benning willing to give a guy who's been so unproven in the NHL up until this season, really, a three-year deal worth $3.5 million a year.
That's what I'm saying. What do they know that we don't?
Were any of you guys on Twitter when they were breaking the news? It's kind of funny.
They
rolled out Dorsett's numbers first, and people were like, that's a little bit much, or that's a little long. And then there was just the calm before the storm, waiting. When's the Spezza's number? What's Spezza's term? And then, boom.
Is that what
Twitter
went like?
Dorsett's,
boom. It was crazy.
Derek Dorsett's numbers were the earthquake. Lucas Pisa's was the tsunami that followed after.
Well, we asked...
Where we all get swept away.
We asked our listeners, we're going to get an SCHB a little bit later, about what they felt like when they saw both the Dorsett and Spezza resigning. But what's interesting, and I want to share this with the listeners, is we're sort of thinking, like, what should we ask? And Matt, you suggested, let's talk about, you know, Spezza and Dorsett. And I'm like, why do you want to talk about just those two? I mean, there's a couple
exactly.
other UFAs. We've got all these RFAs. Like, the Dorsett part I understood, but I couldn't understand. Like, what are we talking about Spezza for? There's like eight other RFAs on the team. Like, how does he rate higher than any others? And then I realized that, are you talking about some signings that took place? And, yeah, again, if you had just mentioned Dorsett, I'd have gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Spezza that threw me off.
What were you doing today? Why were you so busy?
I was doing stuff.
Okay.
He's doing stuff, right?
Keeping busy.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
So what does this mean for Sean Matthias, first of all? I mean, he was a big UFA that was coming up. And what does it mean for Brad Richardson as well?
Well, Richardson's in the witness protection program, so we won't ever know what's going to happen with him. I don't think Matthias comes back now. I don't understand. I don't think the Canucks can afford him.
Does this send a message to the Matthias camp at all? Maybe sort of hinting, like, let's see what you can do in the playoffs now? If Sean Matthias has a great playoff.
So, is Sean Matthias worth more than Lucas Pisa?
No. He's worth more than Derek. No, don't let me finish that sentence.
He's worth more to the team, I would think, than Lucas Pisa is. You know, Lucas Pisa
like
is
Sean, yeah.
tremendously replaceable. Sean Matthias at least brings something to the table.
I feel like Sean Matthias has asserted himself as a good bottom six forward.
But even if you're saying he's worth as much as Pisa or Dorsett
he's not.
Financially, but how do you fit him in now? There's not enough
much
room, right? Yeah, you'd have to
I think
trade
Richardson's
somebody
a goner for sure.
Except you might be able to get Richardson for cheap because he hasn't played much.
Lyndon Vay's an RFA, by the way. Yannick Weber and Ryan Stanek. Like, I would have been rather happier to give that money to Yannick Weber, to be honest.
Well, I think the Canucks bring Weber and Stanton back for reasonable dollars. I mean, the being that they're RFAs, the Canucks have leverage.
How do you if Lucas Spezza is getting 3.6 on a 3-year deal, Yannick Weber's going to get 4 from Jim Benning next.
You know, maybe I just thought of this now. It's not like it's the most biggest revelation, but maybe they're counting on Jake Virtanen making the team next year. That's a very small cap hit, obviously, the smallest you can get. And then a Richardson or a Matthias are more expendable. And there, you save a couple $1 million. I know it doesn't solve the whole Spezza and Dorsett signing, but maybe there's a bigger plan in place of really, really letting some of these young guys play Berchi and Virtanen. Who knows?
Benning better have a plan, because it just doesn't make sense financially.
Well, another RFA, Markstrom. And I don't think Markstrom wants to sign anything that has the Canucks logo on it if it means another season in Utica. Now, I think Benning has acknowledged this, and he said that he would deal with the goaltending situation in the offseason, but we're given a very interesting conundrum.
By Ryan Miller. That's your conundrum.
Does the team look to send him somewhere else? And Ryan Miller's got leverage because
he's got a limited trade, right?
Hmm.
I think he simply needs to provide the team a list, but there's no guarantee that those teams that he provides the list to want him.
Do you think, this is completely hypothetical, but do you think Lack at this point could fetch a first rounder?
First rounder.
Goaltenders don't ever really get you that much.
It's funny, Adam.
There's something about Eddie Lack that leads me to believe that he could be worth a very low first round, high second round pick.
But
like,
don't you remember
San Jose pick?
We talked about this.
We talked about this a few months ago, and we
But his stock has since soared since then, hasn't it?
We had him capped maxed out at a second rounder back in the day.
I'd say he's worth a high second nowadays.
I just, if you get rid of Ryan $6 million, there's now room.
Oh, if you get rid of Ryan $6 million, I have no problem with Lucas Bees at 3.6.
No, I still have a
problem. Oh, I still have a problem, but I'm not as horrified by it because there's actually cap space to work with again.
It's the same kind of thing. Hey, like, you get the motivation for wanting a big physical guy. You get the motivation for wanting to sign that number one goalie, but just the term and the money just don't make sense for either of them.
It just doesn't make sense. It pisses me off.
How do you really feel?
It pisses me off.
It's time for Ask CHB.
So here we are at my favorite part of every C4 podcast episode. That is right. It's Ask CHB, where we get you, our listeners, more involved with our podcast, because let's be real, you're the ones that make us awesome. Now, we went, as we said sort of earlier, out onto the Twittosphere. We went and asked you, the Smelosphere, about the recent re-signing of both Derek Dorsett and Lucas Spezza, because you know what? It seems to us that this topic is somewhat hot. Now, we got actually quite a few responses, and we'll just go through a few of them here, both on Facebook as well as Twitter. So let's see here. We got James Boileau, who is at James Lawn Social. Used a little more cap space than they could have, but cap space doesn't win games. At least they keep the assets. So I'm kind of thinking James is saying I'm okay with the numbers and the players, outside of the fact that the cap space is an issue.
You're crazy.
Tyler Halsey, at Halsey, and that's with an extra Y, says Dorsett's contract isn't great, but not the worst. Nah, the worst goes to Spezza's. Don't know how that happened.
This guy's name is Tyler Hall?
Tyler Halsey.
Kind of funny.
Friend of the podcast over in the old country, Anna Forsyth, at A Forsyth 03. We can argue over Dorsett's dollars, but he's played a role. What on earth has Spezza done to earn any kind of deal? The mind boggles. Who else do we have? Oh, Kootenay D, at Kootenay D, says that Benning took stupid pills the morning he signed them. Decent players, but no way they are worth that. Yeah.
He took his stupid pills, and then he took a trip to Crazy Town is what he did.
Yeah, well, Crazy Town's yours, so in fairness, you know, the Smelosphere feels it's more drug-induced. Let's go ahead take a look over on Facebook. Now, Facebook's a little more interesting. We actually have more positivity on Facebook. So, for instance, Josh Hall talked about it being a gross overpayment for Spezza, would not have re-signed him, overpaid for Dorsett too, but at least he contributes. To which someone replied to him, Ali Lascia-Peters, said, are you in the NHL? So I'm assuming Ali Lascia-Peters feels it's okay. Moose Hill, awesome. Jake Hughes, I think it's a great signing, showing we need and want to move forward with the youth we have performing so well. You have Kurt Balutz, who says Dorsett really played hard this season. He showed a willingness to change his game up a little bit and really had some impact. I really like the signing. Spezza, I think, will have a much better second season, but a good signing as well. So see, as you say, there's a lot more positivity.
It's funny, as you read each one, Adam's shaking his head more and more.
And then there's Brian T. Klein, friend of the podcast, and Brian's like, this will cost us re-signing Matthias, who likely has the most potential of the RFAs. I'd have taken either at a lower price, lower term deal. Too much over too long. Hashtag dislike. Now, I think, Brian, I'm not entirely sure if you're referring to Matthias being an RFA, but he's a UFA. So he has all the leverage, and I agree with you. He's probably gone. Interesting that Facebook is more positive about these deals.
You get more than 140 characters. You can expand your answer, maybe.
And so therefore the positivity starts to exude, and people just go for the short and nasty on the Twitter sphere. Yeah, I don't know.
Case in point.
Anywho, we appreciate everything that you guys do when you get involved. You can use the hashtag AskCHB. Alternatively, you can email, and it's been a while since we've had someone shoot us an email with an audio clip. Please do that. C4@CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Let's hear your voice. Ask us a question, make a statement, make a comment. I guarantee we will include it in an upcoming podcast.
Garth, that was a haiku.
You know, I love Haiku Corner.
Let's just get this over with.
I love it even more when I'm in studio with you guys so I can see a reaction. I love it most when Adam's with me, and I love it most when it's about you guys and us. And so today, knowing what we had to do, I didn't even go to the people. I didn't even have to put a tweet out and say, send me your haiku because we're doing C4. Today, it's all about us, you guys. So listeners, I hope you don't mind this little inward look today. It's a little bit egocentric, but well worth it. But before we get to the consequence haiku, Adam, I walked in here. You said you had one.
Yeah, just a little quick one. And bear with me, though, because I'm not entirely sure if Spisa is two syllables or three. Is it Sibisa or is it Spisa?
What did you count it as?
I counted it as two.
Then that's fine.
Okay. To me, it's two.
Okay, so keep in mind that this is the first time I've ever met Clay face-to-face.
So this is Adam channeling the power of the 575.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Clay. But Matt ruins good podcasts. Meanwhile, Spisa sucks.
We have a winner.
That was actually pretty good.
And Matt did ruin the best podcast we had in a while.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
Now, thank you. So I'm going to give my instant reaction to these because I never get to give instant reaction. Adam, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Nice
thank
to
you.
Meet you too.
Yeah.
You're right. I sorry I didn't get to hear that other great, awesome podcast.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Let's just keep moving forward. Let's just finish this.
But thank you. I look forward to working with you. Good job.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, it sounds like you have one.
Yes, I totally created this on my own. Should not have doubted. Clay was right. Matt and I wrong. Clay, you are the man.
Instant Why did you say that in like a Chinese accent?
I didn't. I was simply trying to accentuate all of the syllables.
Also, why did it say da man?
I'm trying to be cool.
The T-H-E is also acceptable as one syllable.
Well, maybe he didn't read it right. Oh, no, you're right. It does say D-A, da man. Okay, instant reaction for me. Yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have doubted, Chris. And I was right. You and Matt were wrong. And yes, I am the man. Okay, Matt, you got one for us. Let's go. Say it nicely without the Chinese accent.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Clay, you want it or not?
I'm ready. It was Chris. Okay, go.
This is horrible.
Let's go.
Clay said they'd make it. Not only is Clay handsome, he is smart as well.
Adam, instant reaction, please.
I just like when Matt gets humiliated. Because he's all
up.
Talk, has the biggest ego of anybody I've ever met. So I'm happy to see this.
I'm going to go throw up.
Thank you, Adam. That was good. Thank you, Matt. That was very, very kind of you. I never thought that you thought that of me. And lastly, I have mine to wrap it up. Canucks in playoffs. Hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're a sore winner.
So, listeners, I know we didn't get to you this time, but this was too good to pass up. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, myself, for channeling
thank
the power.
You,
he just thanked himself.
I'm in a good mood tonight. Canucks are in the playoffs. We're going to wrap up second place. LA might be gone. And I actually was right for once. Anyways, thank you. Next time, we'll get back to regular haiku submissions where we channel the best of the 17 syllables, the power of the 575.
So here we are at the end of a wicked episode 56. That's right, 56, not 55, like someone had thought. And we are getting close to the playoffs, and something we'd been bouncing around was that we are going to go and amp up our game. We are aiming to have a podcast episode after every postseason game that the Canucks happen to play in.
What if they're playing a quadruple overtime game again or something?
Well, first of all, that will be awesome. And then it won't be.
At least we get to watch the game together, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, as long as one of us isn't at the game. Clay's at all the games.
So does that mean we either have to be on standby with our cell phones or maybe even get in the studio? And does that mean Matt's got to drag his butt
down
here
every game?
We'll
figure something out, but we're going to hopefully have a podcast after every game.
That's wow. Right. Some instant reaction. I mean, there's going to be post-game haiku. There's going to be the Smilosphere getting involved in this. Adam's going to come out and level us, out. This is all going to be great. But that's right, after every game. Gents, final words. Adam, final words.
Well, super stoked that the Canucks are in the playoffs. Not stoked that I have to deal with Lucas Pisa for another 3 years. But life goes on.
Play.
Can't wait for Ryan Miller to get a shutout on Saturday night. And can you imagine
didn't really talk about that.
I know. Well, I want to throw it in. Can you imagine the discussion that's going to happen Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and potentially Wednesday before the Canucks playoff game?
As I told Ryan Beach, at Ryan Beach on Twitter, get over yourself. Markstrom's going to get the start in game one. Matt, final words?
Yeah, I am. We didn't talk about the Ryan Miller or Eddie Lack situation. I do think Miller will get that one game. Whether or not he looks good, if he looks good, I think that they'll give him the ball. But if he looks a little rusty, maybe they give it back to Eddie Lack. That's my thoughts.
Interesting. And for me, I'm going to talk about something that I've done in past postseasons. Grow that playoff beard. And I don't know if I'm actually wanting to go and do that. So I'm going to leave that up to our listeners of the C4 podcast. If you think I should grow that playoff beard and get involved in the beardathon, you're going to have to convince me. The only way to do so is by sending us an email, c4@canuckshockeyblog.com, with audio clips encouraging me or discouraging me, entirely up to you, but I can assure you my wife doesn't want any type of facial hair on this face ever again. But as it is my job to do so, I'm going to wrap up this podcast. Again, this is Chris Golden at Lightforce on Twitter. As always, joined by and thankful for your listening, all of you listeners, thousands and thousands of you, is Matt Lee at Matt Lee 980, Clay at Canuck Clay, and Adam Ovenel Carter at Adam FOC. The F stands for
Francis.
Thank you.
Why do I keep saying
that? I don't know. He keeps pointing at you.
Yeah, well, you're the one who kept introducing it, so
but
now
that's
it's a thing.
That's just his tagline.
Well, I kept trying to say he's on Tinder, but you went and said the F stands for Francis.
How come you don't say my last name anymore?
Well, because you got upset.
No, you say it right.
Clay
plus,
Emo.
Plus, you made us read all those haikus.
Yeah, anyhow, you throw me off my game. Regardless, if you're looking for us, we're at facebook.com/CanucksHockeyBlog, facebook.com/C4Podcast, at Canucks Hockey on Twitter, and C4@CanucksHockeyBlog.com. With all of that said, we're out.